Good afternoon to you, ladies and gentlemen. I got to thinking that it's rare that I present to you things on this program that I just assume everybody ought to know about. One of the things that is just fundamental to any religion is an understanding that God exists. But you know, it's almost funny, you cannot assume that with our children anymore. They have all kinds of problems with the idea of the existence of God, and they're being bombarded with atheism, which is the doctrine that we know there is no God, when we don't know that, of course, but they're being bombarded with that, they're being hit with that constantly in all kinds of venues, from the media, in academic settings, and so forth, and they're going to have to come to grips with this, and to understand how we understand God, how we know about Him. So in order for us to appreciate that and to come to grips with it a little bit better, I would like this afternoon for us to look at a few things from God's Word and at the same time show how we can reason with people, and especially your children, your grandchildren, people like that, about God, and do so in a practical kind of way. What is it that causes men and women to believe that the rising sun or the birth of a child gives testimony to the existence of God? Why is it that the psalmist proclaimed, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork"? That's in Psalm 19, verse 1. Or why would he say, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made"? Psalm 139, verse 14. There are all kinds of ways in which God's existence is proven, but what I'd like for us to deal with this afternoon is what is called the argument from design. That doesn't mean argument as in we're going to have a knockdown drag out. It means the reasoning, how we see from the design of the creation that there is a creator. So what I'd like for us to do is to look at in just a few minutes in a more formal way what people in a common sense way just look out at nature and say, well, the sun rose this morning. Look at that. You know that there's a God. You have to kind of presuppose some things. You have to understand that when you're talking about God, people know who you're talking about. You have to believe that they're going to think in a rational kind of way. What I mean by that is this. If you see something happen, something caused it. It didn't just happen. There has to be a reason for it. So if there's a storm, then there needs to be moisture. You can't have the effect of rain or a storm unless there's moisture around and in the air. So one thing is the effect and another thing causes it. Now you might have something else that was causing that, and on you go back. But when people have a hard time with cause and effect, that is that something is causing something else, then it's really hard to deal with them. It's really hard to talk to them. So I'm assuming that everybody here accepts that when you have something going on, something caused it. You may not have caused it, but something caused it. So I'm just going to assume that and move on with it, all right? If people start having a problem with that, then they're denying God for reasons other than their mind. They're denying God out of their emotions. And that's for a separate lesson from this. I'm talking to your head right now. I'm talking to how you reason about stuff. When we say that something is designed, like you look at a building, you say it's designed, then what is it that makes you think that it's designed? You see the orderliness of it, right? The complexity of it, how that one part depends on another, its interdependency, if you might say. You see that it has a pattern. It's not just random stuff, but there's a pattern to how it is done. And furthermore, it has a function. It has a purpose to fulfill, whereas something that just accidentally crops up would not really have a purpose to it. There still would have to be a reason why it's there, but even if you just say, well, this is there by accident, then it wouldn't have any kind of purpose. It wouldn't have a particular function, would it? All the examples that we look at out in nature show us complexity. And what I'd like for us to look at is how that you have a regularity about nature around us. You have things that are interdependent. One depends on another, and that things are made for an obvious purpose. So what we want to do is to look at the design or the order that we see all around us and realize that there has to be somebody who is the designer of it. So you don't have a poem without a poet. May not be a very good poet, but you don't have a poem without a poet. Is the poem of this creation that we look at and see, is it a great and wonderful thing? Does it require a very powerful and incredible poet? And I say to you, yes, certainly so. And it's not just something where I say it and you're supposed to just accept it because Tim McHenry said it. Look out yourself and see how that it would take incredible amounts of power, incredible amounts of intelligence, incredible amounts of purpose in order for us to have what we have around us, and that just any old cause won't do. You can't have a weak God. You cannot have someone who just can't really function or functions like a man and has all the kinds of failings and things like that. No, no, no. You have to have ultimate power, ultimate knowledge. So let's think about this a little bit more. You got a law. You can't have a law without a lawgiver. Law of gravity. Who put gravity there? You can't have a law of, anything in nature, except that God has put it into place. And if not, then if you didn't need God for it, then why is it a law? There's no reason for it to be one. So if you look out in the universe, you've got all these heavenly bodies going around the sun, right? And even on this earth, the one we live on, the planet we're on, you see that it possesses characteristics of design that only come from God. The heavenly bodies are grouped together in space into galaxies. Why? Somebody had to order them that way. The galaxies contain what are called solar systems. Why? The solar systems operate in a regular and an orderly fashion. And in fact, our situation is that we're in a rather unique system. The Earth, from a certain point of view, revolves around the sun, takes a course around the sun that keeps the Earth bathed in the amount of sunlight that's appropriate for the support of life on Earth. The existence of life could not be if the sun was not the right size, emitting the right kind of light, if the Earth didn't have a certain atmosphere containing certain elements in the proper proportion needed for life. One thing allows for complexity and order on the other. So the sun allows it to be on the Earth. The Earth is of such a complexion, of such a makeup, that it allows for human life to support that life, even under all these different powerful forces, the gravitational pulls, the bathing and the massive amounts of heat and everything that is coming out of the sun. If it's too much or too little, it just won't work. But it's just right. Everybody sees that. Everybody knows that. And one of the many things that I found to be fascinating is how two seemingly unrelated things in nature have common properties. For example, when I was studying on mathematics, the things that we would study on in math about relationships, like on a triangle, just a simple shape, that these things would describe other things in nature, like, say, electric current. One thing is related to another. How? How could it be related? There's no reason for it to be. The reason is supplied by a common designer. That common designer or common mind is God. By definition, He is the one that supplies purpose, the one that supplies the reason for why things are the way they are. My friend, if you've had doubts in the past, if you wondered about, should I believe in God, you need do no more than just look out at His creation. As it says in Romans chapter 1, we understand the power, the divinity of God, His eternal power and Godhead, as it says in the King James translation, by the things that are made. Romans 1:18-20. So you look at even your own body. Sometimes people overlook what is right with them and what is them. The skin that provides protection, heat regulation, and so forth. The skeletal system that provides locomotion, blood manufacture in the bone marrow, structure. We have a respiratory system that gives us oxygen. We have a system that eliminates waste. We have nervous systems, sensory systems. Are these things there for no reason? Obviously, they have function. They're woven together for the purpose of keeping us alive and working at each moment. And all of these functions, all of these purposes, exhibit the intelligent design of God. For no other than God could have produced the design that we see in the world, the design that we see in people. Pretend that you're standing on the outside and you're looking at all this. How can you say, it just happened? There's no reason behind it. It just growed. No, my friend. You're here for a reason. You're here to serve the Creator that placed you as the height of His creation upon this globe. And what are you going to do to serve Him? That's the big question today, isn't it? You know there is a God. You know what you need to do in order to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now you need to go out there and do the best you can to live for Him every single day through His Son, Jesus the Christ.